It's my great pleasure to have Tim and Kiralee Lowe with us this morning from C3 City Campus in Sydney. And it's a great joy to have Tim and Kiralee and getting to know Tim. But actually, let's just show. We've got a couple of slides. This is their church. And here we go. This is Tim's in the city. They got one of the oldest buildings in Darlinghurst. Great little facility. Yeah, keep going. Just flick them through. And I've been to their church a number of times. In fact, they church planted not long after us here in Fremantle. So we've had a bit of a connection all the way through. And I love that we're a tribe together. You know, C3 is a tribe. You know, and it's good to be a part of a great group of people that are going on the journey together, and we're going to fulfill the 2020 vision together. And but I'd like us to stand to our feet and welcome Pastor Tim Lowe this morning. God bless you, man. Awesome. Now, I was just going to say, Kiralee, come and join Tim for a moment. You've got some books. And rather than me do it, that seemed a bit awkward. So here you go.
Hey, church. So wonderful to be with you. We're so excited. We've been getting a tour of your facilities and Port Care and spending some time with your incredible pastors, Pastor Nigel and Andrea. And, you know, we just love them and we want to honour them this morning. You know, God has really given you the best pastors with hearts that are big enough and colourful enough and creative enough for this city and all that God wants to accomplish in this city. So why don't you join with me in giving your pastors a hand this morning. Let's honour them, church. We love you guys. Congratulations on all that you've accomplished, and we know that there's amazing days ahead for this church. And I know that Tim's preaching, so I better get off the stage. Pastor Nigel just wanted me to let you know about a series of books that I've been writing. It's a series of children's books based on the fruit of the Spirit. So there's a book for each character trait described in Galatians: love, joy, peace and patience. I've done the first four, and they're beautifully illustrated. They're poetry books. They're for your kids, but they're also for adults. They've got very deep messages in them. So you can go out and just have a look at them. I'll be out there. I'm happy to sign them for you and look forward to chatting with you later. Thanks, honey.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Well, it's so good to be here. Am I on here? I can't hear anything. It's all right. Okay. I can hear now. That's such a pleasure to be here. C3 Frio, as they say. Everything's Frio around here, and I love that. And we've been blown away by your hospitality, and you guys have just been looking after us and putting us up, and I'm just so moved just watching that video, hearing the heart that God has for the house and the heart that your senior ministers have had. The other day, we dropped in and saw the Port Care facility, the community facility that Charlie and the team run, and I was so moved by that, and I thought, you know, this is so significant. You are a significant church, and I don't think we realize what you have put in motion, and it's not just for here. I was thinking and praying about this church, and I thought, this is a gateway, like you just said, and I hadn't heard you say that before, but it came to me. This church is a gateway. And there's been a struggle. There's been a ferocious struggle and a ferocious fight to see this building come out of the ground and to see the care facility come out of the ground and to see pretty much everything you've done. And you've said, we're going to step out and do this. And there's been a fight. Is anyone with me? You're sort of looking a little bit. There's been a fight to see this amazing daycare center. This kids center is just like, it blows me away. And I think the church is awesome. You know that scripture, how awesome is this place? Fill the presence. The daycare center is outstanding. It's magnificent. And the community, it's like, well, you know, the glory of God is released into the community by our good works. And obviously it's released when we worship in the house of God. And I just wanted to honor Nigel and the whole team and Andrea, just all that you've done. It is, I believe that you've set in motion something that's not just going to open a window of heaven for a gateway into Perth, but it's across our movement. It's across our movement. I don't know if there's too many really successful daycare centres operating in our movement or community care centres. You might hear that the community care centres, but they're not even as big as this stage. You guys have taken serious ground. And as I said to Nigel, you've done some heavy lifting here. And so I would like everybody to stand. right now. And I want you to honor your senior ministers and give them a great hand. Honor them. Honor them. Honor them. Come on. Come on. Wonderful. Greatest thing you could do for these guys is to honor them and to pray for them and just say, hey, just let me know. Whatever you want me to do, we'll do it. Just be available. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for reception. And just to serve these guys, and you'll see a harvest of souls. You can be seated down. So Kirillie and I have pioneered the city campus for 13 years. Now we have three active boys. It's probably the best way to describe it. And we have Samuel, Elijah, and Harry. I think there's a photo that might come up of those beautiful young boys. And their grandmothers, there they are. That's a good-looking family, aren't they? And they've got Sammy. He's 9. Harry, he's 7. He's a little champ. And that's Elijah. And isn't he special? And he's very good at being naughty and wonderful. It's But you know, this morning, you know, I'm here to talk about our story, our future, and the purpose of what we do, why we do what we do. And one of the things I've discovered is once you discover the why of your life, everybody say why, you can go through absolutely anything. And you might be facing something right now that seems like you're standing in front of Goliath and you feel like you're David, or you've got a mountain of circumstances or something's gone on and the wheels have fallen off your world. But I can tell you that the future does belong. Your future belongs to those that dare to dream beyond what is seen right now. We have to be people of faith who are not anchored in what is seen in the realm right now, but it's anchored in the unseen realm. People who are anchored in this, the Word of God. Because what you're sitting in is the middle of a miracle. And this has come to pass. Some of you have just arrived in church of recently. Some of you have been here from the beginning. But this word has what has come to pass in the hearts of your leaders that you've just heard a whole lot about. And the great thing about walking with Christ is that he does rewrite our whole story. And he does change us and transform us by his grace and his mercy so that we actually can create a whole new future. And the key to this, the core of this, is the purpose of Christ on earth, and that is to build the church. We need to have vision in us that's far bigger than where we are right now. It includes a miracle. I don't know about you, but you need to have a vision that you're thinking, wow, this is my vision. The only way this can come to pass if a miracle comes to pass. Because that's the vision that God places in our heart. We need to have a vision for our marriages, our finances, our career, our community, and our church that is going to need a miracle. You know, over the years, thousands of people have come to Christ in this house, somehow, some way. If you add it up, I don't know if you've ever added it up, guys, Nigel, but we did the other day, and it was like 1,200 or 1,500 decisions for Christ. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done here? It's incredible what's happening. And so the heart of our story, our future, is the salvation of lost people. It's not actually about buildings, even though it is. It's not about a community center. It's not about a daycare center. It's about a harvest of souls that are destined to come into this house through you and I because we believe God and his word and we step out in faith. This is what our story, our future is about. Inside of you is a word. It is a promise. It's indestructible. It achieves everything that you think it can't because it can overtake every war. It can slay every giant. It can overcome every circumstance, every season, every GFC in your world. Eventually, the word of God wins. You are in a war building the house of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. What that means, it does not mean that the church is some backwash on the back foot thinking, let's just hang on and survive. That scripture that Jesus spoke means that hell is unable to stand against the onslaught of the people who believe God's word and step out and walk through the gates of influence. And that's what it says, hell cannot prevail. Those gates are the commercial gates. They are the gates that open up the favor of God into the city. And as you and I believe God, we start stepping into a miracle. And the gates of this city, the gates of the marketplace, the gates of the business world, the gates of the sporting community, the gates of the community care areas, the gates into families and marriages and schools and education and politics and the seat of influence, these gates will open up to the church because you and I decide to believe God and we walk through with His authority. And what positions us is when we surrender to Him, when we bring an offering, when we bring our best to Him, we bring the seed of what He's called us to. We step out in faith and we believe God at His word and we're bold enough to say, God, I'm going to be obedient to what You're calling me to do. So miracles show the hand of God. We've seen miracles. I mean, I've heard of people getting healed here regularly. And that's what they do. They show the hand of God. But more importantly, they unveil the heart of God towards a people, towards a generation, towards a tribe, and towards a city. You know, the greatest miracle is the salvation of somebody's soul. When we give to God through our story, our future, we make this happen. And we begin building today for tomorrow's incredible future. And it's all about transform lives. We have three things. Everybody say three. We have three things that we can build with. We can bring our time, which I think is the most precious commodity that we have, our talent, which is our gifting, like I saw on the stage, and people gifting, there's guys up at the sound desk, there's people serving in kids' church, there's people working down there at the community center, there's people welcoming, some guys on the cappuccino machine. We bring our gifting to the house, and we can bring our treasure, our finances, and as I said, some of us, you know, the journey, it's brand new. You've only been here a short time, and others, your giving has actually facilitated and created the space that we're sitting in that we will not take for granted. But we must not stop here. You can't stop here, church. You've only just begun. You've slayed some giants. You've got a few battle scars, but you must not stop here. I feel so strong in my spirit. When I was thinking about this message, I thought, you can't stop here. You can't, okay, catch your breath, have a little rest, get retooled up. But there's a whole generation of sons. I could see it on the stage this morning. These young guys, you know, Nigel's son, the song leader. Well, where are you, Chambi? What's your name again? Jared, you're awesome, man. You're dangerous. You're dangerous. There's nobody like you. I'm telling you, you're worshiping. You're happy, you're bold, you're creative, you're full of God, you're consumed with the vision, you've just immersed yourself in the house, the Spirit of God's on you. The devil hates that. He can't do anything about that. And your son, where's your son? The guy on the guitar, Greg's son, I'm not sure where he is, good looking kid. And, you know, you're all good looking. What is it around here? And, yeah, amazing. There's a whole generation of sons that God is going to raise up and building a house. Together, we must move forward. Everybody say together. Yeah. You can't just do this on their own. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22, just after the death of Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, it says, when Barnabas came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad. And he encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. God had moved, things had happened, but the first one had just gone down for the count. And it says the disciples ran in every direction. They ran to the furthest place. But Barnabas, he came and encouraged them. He says, listen, you need purpose. Do not forget the purpose. Forget about the war. Understand that what you're in right now is a purpose that God has called you to build His house. Without a cause and a context of expressing our Christianity, we actually become irrelevant. There's a reason we're saved. There's a reason we're in business. There's a reason we're in the community. There's a reason God has placed us in this church. There's a reason God has placed you in this movement. We simply have to grasp the vision of the house in Nigel and Andrea that God has put in us. The cause of this vision, the purpose of all this is to save lost people. Everything we do, whether it's put up a new building, expand the building, paint the building, another community center, another campus, or whatever we end up doing, everything we do has at the same core to win lost people. This is the cause of Christ. Luke chapter 19, verses 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I love the story in 1 Samuel of David and Goliath. Who loves that story? It's such a brilliant story. It's almost like the signature story of our life walking with God, because he always calls us to do something that looks absolutely impossible. Sometimes I feel like saying to God, isn't there just something you want me to do that's like, yeah, I can do that. He goes, no, not really. And somehow the believing of God for something that you know you can't do builds God. And the great thing about our story, our future, the most amazing thing, the most brilliant thing, the thing I love about this in our church and this church is that every single one of you can be involved. No matter what season of life in, no matter what capacity you have to give, it's not about equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. No matter what stage of life, no matter whether you're educated or not educated, no matter whether you're earning $100,000 a year or $5,000 a year, God will put something in your heart for you to give. Maybe there's something you can sell. Maybe there's something you can give up. But I know the power of what makes this church unstoppable is that if you and I all commit together, and every single one of us make that commitment, so we're all going to be involved. That is where the power of God comes into our world. David says this, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? He's sent to the front line. He's looking after his sheep. And he gets to the front line. And he turns up with an offering. He turns up with provisions for his brothers. And the whole of the Israelite army is standing there, paralyzed in fear of this giant Goliath. David thought he just turned up to bring provision. But God had a whole lot of other reasons. Every one of us needs a cause that will make us go further, step up higher, and become more than we thought we could be. Who here this morning has become more than they thought they could be? Just been hanging around Nigel and Andrea and the vision, huh? And yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I'm telling you, you're to thank them for the rest of your lives. Our lives take on meaning when we put ourselves at risk for others. Our lives take on meaning when we make sacrifices that help others. Our lives become meaningful when we rise to the challenge to do something we've never done before, and we have to believe God that he has to come through for us. Our lives take on meaning. Is our story, our future, not a big enough cause for us to give of our time and our talent and treasure to? Is it not significant enough for me to give my all? Is it not important enough for me to overcome every sense of intimidation? I mean, David did. He was intimidated by his brother. He says, what are you doing here? Go home, you goose. He's intimidated by Saul. Put this armor on. He's intimidated by Goliath. He says, come here, I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to, you know. He's intimidated by everyone, but he still pushed through because he knew who God was and he saw himself the way God saw him, not all those who were around him. It's eternal enough for me to sacrifice what I have on earth. It's risky enough for me to take the boldest step of faith to accomplish, and it's impossible enough for me to run with a vision, believing that God, with God, nothing is impossible. This is the purpose of our story, our future. The building of the house of God is the context of the cause. A man by the name of F.B. Meyer, back in 1847, he died in 1929, he said this, he said, we will never test the resources of God until we attempt the impossible. Because there's something that you and I have that is a resource, but there's a far greater resource that God has. And when your resource gets given to the purposes of God, suddenly your resources experience the power of God. Some of us in our finances, like, we need to get born again. And I know that continually, as I bring my tithes and what we call vision builder finances, same as our future, our story, our future, as we bring what we have and we align it with the purposes of God, suddenly our finances collide with the power of God. It's the same way when you bring a broken knee to God, and this is what I've got, a broken knee, and you align with the purpose of God, that he sent his word and healed them, and you receive that healing, so you humble yourself and you surrender to the prayer of your pastor, and suddenly the power of God hits your knee. It's the same with your finances. God works the same. He never changes, and there is a miracle that he wants you to be part of stepping into, not just for yourself, but for your future, for your children, for your community, and for this church. Amen? So a guy in the Bible called Nehemiah took up the challenge to rebuild the ruins of Solomon's temple. It was destroyed 70 years earlier by Nebuchadnezzar. And he says this one line in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 18, after he shares the story with them that God's house has lain in ruins, and he felt grieved and he wept and he sat down. Then he prayed and he fasted and he positioned himself like you guys have done over the last few weeks. And then he said, so they said, let us arise and build. And I've thought about that word arise and that word build for so long. And you know, the word arise means to pray and to seek God, to stand together. It means to go up a higher level. It means to upgrade your life. It means to move from where you are into a deeper level. It means to arise out of ourselves. You know, for us to arise and to rebuild the house and to see it continually expand into the next generation of men and women of God coming through and to continue to stretch out and expand beyond where we're at, we have to arise out of our past. We have to arise out of insecurities. We have to arise out of our background. We have to arise out of our dysfunctionality, our disappointments, our small thinking, our lack, our circumstances, our setbacks. Anybody ever had a few setbacks in the last few years? Anybody feel like they've just been had their left leg taken out from under them? Anyone ever felt they've just been hit by a tsunami? Well, God's saying, hey, you've wept, you've prayed, now it's time to reposition yourself. We need to rise and build. And the circumstances never look perfect. The timing doesn't seem, are you sure, God? He says, come on, you can rise out of that. Because we're not actually building a house for people, although we are. We're actually, above anything we do, we're building a house for God. That's what he said. God called David to build a house for the Lord. And before we reach anybody in our hearts, we need to know that as we give to God through our story, our future, we're actually giving to build a space for God to fall on an altar to touch lives. All of us have to rise out of our setbacks and disappointments. Genesis chapter 13, God calls Abraham to arise and extend his vision to a new horizon. And he says, lift up your eyes from where you are. Look, and all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. So there it is, I'm going to give it to you and your future. Abraham's inheritance was only limited by the size of his vision. Isn't that incredible? When we walk with God, our inheritance is only limited by what we can see that God sees. And when we give, we're given into a future of what God can see. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It's a bit inconvenient. That's why it's called stepping out in faith and sacrifice. But God loves it because he likes to move on us. In 1 Chronicles 22, it says that God wants to build a house. And David said the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence, a bit like this place, fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. Therefore, I will make preparations. This is what we're doing this week for next week. And it says, David made extensive, say extensive, extensive preparations before his death. And he charged his sons, like we're doing, we're charging our sons to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. And then he goes on, he says, you'll build the house, you'll have success. So God has always been into building buildings and building things. Noah sought God, and he ends up building an ark. He thought he'd save his whole family, but God had a plan to save all of mankind. Moses and Joshua built altars to God, as did Abraham and Isaac. David and Solomon built temples, and they provided a place for people to seek God, pray, sacrifice, worship, bring offerings, consecration, and salvation. So in building, we need to take three steps. I want to give you three things that we need to have in the posture of our spirit and in the action of our hearts and in our world. Number one, we need to take a step of faith. Everybody say faith. Okay, it's always the men and women of faith who change the world. The heroes in the Bible are called the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We know that in Hebrews 11 verses 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the title deed, the conviction of reality of what we can see. It's like we see it before we actually see it. And you and I have to be a man and woman of faith. It's like a peculiar breed of people. But our citizenship is actually in heaven, not earth. Our feet are on earth, but our hearts are in heaven. And we have to be people who are anchored in the unseen realm of the Word of God. What faith does is it chases the impossible. It goes after what looks absolutely impossible in obedience to what God has called us to do. But faith always exists in a relationship with God. It's not faith in faith. It's not just hyper talk. It's not just, you know, new age thinking. It's faith in His Word. It doesn't rely on the natural senses. It doesn't rely on external experiences. It doesn't rely on the opinions and the mindset of men. It doesn't rely on your or my ability. It relies in one thing and one thing only. And it's what God has said in His Word. When you and I shift our confidence and our hope and our faith into the Word of God, we begin to step into a miracle. I wish we could take the step out of faith. Wouldn't it be great, Nigel, if it's like, I'm in faith, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything, I'm just standing in faith. You can't take the step out of faith. Because when you move, God moves. If you don't move, it's like God has given you a resource. He's given you something. He's given you seed in your hand. But as you step out and you sow that seed, as soon as finances, if you've got finances, in the world it's called money. That's all it's ever going to be. It's called money. But in the kingdom, it's called seed. And when you and I sow that seed, it has this ability to grow and to reproduce and to multiply. This is what the ancients were commended for, acting on the Word of God. I would say that the biggest robbery of the century is the robbery of faith. If the devil can steal your faith, he's stolen your victory. And that's what he's after. He's trying to steal our faith. And the only way, faith is like a muscle. It's a bit like going to the gym. You keep pumping those weights and you start building those muscles. And the way you build your faith is to keep stepping out and giving and believing in God's Word. Don't let the dream killers steal your dream. Don't let them take that faith and that confidence and that vision. You got to understand it's got to be anchored in the unseen realm. The reality of the invisible world dominates the reality of the natural world. Unbelief is anchored in what is doable or reasonable apart from God. Unbelief honors the natural instead of the invisible. Through the prayer of faith, we are able to access all the promises and the provision and the power of God. That's why we have to be anchored in the unseen. But there's a struggle and there's a fight for that. And the reality of that is we have to understand the fight is this. He wants you to hang on to your seed in your pocket. Because if he can get you to hang on to your seed, you can't sow it. Because the devil knows that if you sow that seed and you put it in the hand of God, that seed has only one destiny, and it's called a harvest. It's called multiplication. And there's a ferocious fight for your seed. There's a struggle. It's a struggle that I face. It's a struggle. Like, are you sure, Kirillie and I, we pray about what God wants us to give? Some years God's told us to give 100,000, other years 50,000, sometimes 25,000. I don't say that to boast. I just say that that's the reality of the struggle. But we have been obedient and God has been faithful. But I can tell you now, on the other side of that giving, I know the reality and the wisdom of the struggle. It's because there's a harvest. There is a harvest that God has brought us in our provision, in our church, and in our world. And if we hadn't have gone through that beautiful process of struggle, we would never have seen the reality of what God can do. See, the first building's the hardest. That's why he came at you with everything. Because the devil's scared of you. He knows if you can put one up, you can put 10 up. If you can do one community center, you can do 10. Why is it so hard just to get that first connect group growing? Because if you can get one connect group going, you can get 3 connect groups. Why is it so hard to get that first member saved in your church, in your family? Because if you can get one of your family saved, you can get your whole family saved. Why is it hard to get that healing thing flowing? Because if God can get you healed, you can get someone else healed. And so there's a multiplication anointing and an ability. If you can believe God for $1,000, you can believe him for $10,000. If you can believe him for 10,000, you can believe him for 100,000. If you can believe him for 100,000, you can believe him for $1 million. And that's where the struggle is. But you know what? It's a rest. We just have to be surrendered and obedient and stay in faith. Ask God, God, what do you want me to give this year? Number two is a walk of commitment. Who knows that our best will always cost us something? Nothing of any greatness is ever achieved without commitment. Whenever you embrace commitment, you actually create a future. You create certainty, stability, and safety. So many people, young people, they want certainty. They want stability. They want safety. But they're scared of commitment. But you know what? When you embrace commitment, you actually create that for your whole future and for your children's future. Psalm 37, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. So commitment is simply love in action. We know in the Message version of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it says, love never gives up. There's no such thing as love without commitment. Oh, I love her, but I just can't commit. It's impossible to have love without commitment. And the deal is that we give to what we love to. It's like, oh, I'm committed. If we're committed, we give. It's like if you're in a relationship, you're in a family, you've got to be committed. Sometimes you don't feel like being committed, but you're committed because that's what love is. Love never gives up. Commitment shows our values. It shows what we love, and it shows what we really think is important. God called Noah to build a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, and everyone came against him. And God told him to do something he had never been done before for 120 years. He's building this ark. He stayed committed. At the end of the day, the Bible calls him righteous, and he saved his whole family. It took him 120 years to fulfill his commitment to God. We're only talking about 12 months, right? How easy is that? We got off light these days. He continued to build. He was mocked. He was slandered. But there was a day. Let me just tell you this. When you become a vision builder, when you become a person who says, I'm going to be involved in our story and our future, and you include your family in the process, you will find that God will assist you in enormous ways, even through very difficult circumstances in a world that's gone completely against God, and still your family will hold together if you lead in building the house of God. The greatest cry in every man and woman's heart is that your family would stay together and be healthy. Here's the greatest building fund story in the world. It says, and Noah had three sons, and they built the ark. And then the storm came, and Noah and his three sons went into the ark and their wives. And when the rain stopped, it says Noah and his three sons came out of the ark with their wives and family. When I read that, I just see this is the greatest way to build the most healthy, blessed family. So Noah commits to build the ark to save his family. God's commitment was for him to save the world. Abraham committed to believe God for one child. God's plan was for him to become the father of all nations. Job committed to worship God every day in the midst of the most severe trial and circumstances. God's plan was to bless him with twice as much as he had after the trial. David committed to rescue a lamb from the lion's mouth, but God's plan was for him to rescue a whole nation called Israel from a giant called Goliath. Paul committed to write letters to young ministers and young leaders in young churches. God's plan was that he would write 13 out of 27 books of the New Testament. You don't realize what you're committing to, young people, sons of the house, daughters of the house, what you are putting in motion. You think, oh, I just wrote a little letter. Oh, I just gave, I don't have much to give. That seed is what destroys the work of the devil. He wants to bring a harvest in your world, young person, mum and dad, young adult, family person, grandmother, uncle, aunt, visitor, new person. There is a seed and a victory and an abundant life. We call it your best life in C3. And it's in your hand. Your future looks like what's in your hand. And when it's sown, it becomes incredible. 2 Chronicles 16, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen, say strengthen, strengthen those hearts that are fully committed to Him. Sometimes we feel like, I've got no strength. I don't know if I can do this anymore. You wouldn't believe what happened last year when I committed to give. Do you know what? God is looking on the front foot to bring strength to those whose hearts are committed afresh to Him. I will believe that when you give out of obedience next week and make that pledge commitment, I believe if you're feeling tired, you're feeling weary, you're feeling disappointed, I really believe prophetically there's going to be new strength and new vision. And whatever you've lost, let me tell you, God is going to turn it around and you're going to find a way. You're going to see a way. You're going to see a way to make it again. There's fresh strength going to come back into this house. And the last one before I finish is a life of sacrifice. Say sacrifice. This is not a step of sacrifice. It's a life of sacrifice. True life for everyone is always found in not getting, but in giving, laying down our life. Jesus calls us to do this on a daily basis. Jesus is the epitome of sacrifice. In Acts chapter 20, it says, His church purchased with His own blood. When we purchase something with our own blood, it sends a message that we've actually put more into it than just our finances. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, you need some money. Yeah, I can. Here's some money, Pastor Noel. Yeah, that's right. You just put finances in. The first Vision Builders dinner I went to as a young man, we were just dating, Kiralee and I, and I walked into this room about this big, and there was about 100 people, and I was listening to people's stories. I thought, yeah, I'll go along. I'll probably give $1,000, and yeah, it'll be good, you know. I was a young business guy and reasonably successful and was earning a lot of money. And after hearing the stories of just young couples, what they gave, they're like, I was weeping. I was up the back, holding back tears, wiping my eyes. This is the worst state in the world. What on earth have you brought me here for? And I could not walk out of that room after realizing the sacrifice of what I was sitting in. I never forget when Pastor Phil said, when you step out of your car and you walk across those tiles to the auditorium, those brick fabers, every single one of those bricks is covered in the blood of people's sacrifice. I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I getting myself into here? And my first commitment, I think it was, $25,000 or $50,000. And I did not feel comfortable giving anything less. I was in faith, I was committed. Then I discovered the power of giving, which was sacrifice. And I gave what was a sacrifice, not like a tip, to God. It costs us something. When we give, we sort of think we rather would not have really wanted to pay. If I said to Nigel and Andrea, I said, look, would you like to start a church? If they knew the cost and the sacrifice that God was leading them into, I'm not sure you would have done it. But it's beautiful because it transforms you. We have to put our heart into it. Two things here at the end. The difference between the Old Testament animal sacrifice and the New Testament sacrifice of Christ is this. The sacrifice of Jesus was voluntary. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He willingly made the sacrifice. The animals, they didn't have much of a choice. Their life was taken. Jesus gave His life willingly, and He laid it down for His friends and for a harvest of souls. The second thing is that animal sacrifice was entirely the product of the law. They had to sacrifice animals in order to be right. The sacrifice of Jesus is entirely the product of love. Completely the opposite. Nobody is going to make anybody give here. But you know what? We are compelled by the love of God. Christ's sacrifice compels us to take on His nature and to give sacrificially. We want to give sacrificially because it's His nature and image oozing out of us to see a harvest of souls. So today, just as the musicians come, we have this incredible opportunity to voluntarily commit ourselves in a step of faith, a life of sacrifice, and a walk of commitment, motivated by the love of God and lost people everywhere who are going to receive eternal life. And I honestly believe that as together, every single one of us, 100% engagement, 100% commitment. I know some of you thinking, I don't know if I can give, or I don't know if what I've got is even really going to make a difference. Let me tell you, the power is that we all give together. Every single one of us have got something to give. And I know that as we do that, we are going to see a harvest. You're going to have to push these walls out. Boom, all those rooms. This place is going to be jam-packed. Because we commit afresh again to pioneer again, to expand again. God tells us to enlarge the place of our own tents. We can't always be praying, God, enlarge us. God says, enlarge yourself. Isaiah 54, stretch your tent curtains out. Lengthen your stakes. Lengthen your stakes. Drive your stakes of commitment. You know, as the tent gets bigger, anyone ever had a little two-man tent and those little stakes? And then you go into a five-man family tent. And then you go into one of those big army tents. Then you go into a circus tent. Then you go into like Cirque du Soleil tent. As those tents get bigger, the stakes get bigger. Stakes are what we call commitment. And they get hammered in. And you and I have to plant ourselves deeper and deeper in the house. As the tent gets bigger, our commitment gets bigger. Our cords, our stretch, our elasticity, our nimbleness. It's like, Nigel, you're leading us this way. It's stretching me. Like Christ on the cross. The miracle is in the stretch. I believe that this church, you can't stop here. You've come far too far. You can't go back to what you were. You're too damaged. You're too transformed. The only way forward is forward. Strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords. Young people, make a commitment of faith, sacrifice. God is going to come all over this place. We release the aroma of Christ when we do this. Why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this house, every new person, every visitor, every believer, every member. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never taken that first step. And that step is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that's you here today, maybe you've never surrendered your life. You've never said, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. You might know somebody who knows God. You might know a whole lot of stuff about God. But you've never actually personally made a decision to say, Jesus, come into my life. If I'm talking to you, maybe, you know, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to lift your hand. Maybe you're here today and you used to walk with God, but for whatever reason, I'm not here to judge in any way, but you know that you've fallen away. You know that your heart has grown cold. It's just filled with religion and facts. Or you're sitting here today and you think, man, the life I'm living is not right. I've just got to get right with God. And if that's you here today, I want you to lift your hand right now. If you're away from God and you need to come back, or you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, who is that person today? Who is there today? Just quickly, just right now, just pop your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Maybe you just need to come back and commit afresh to Him. Why don't you just pop your hand up if that's you? Right over there, the back, the front. Anybody in this house this morning? You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if that's you. I'd hate you to go from here and think, man, I should have put my hand up. This is your time. This is your moment. Just to surrender your life afresh to Him. Let's all stand in this place, because I know I would love to pray and lay hands on anybody who this message has moved them. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe you were in business, but you've lost your business. Or maybe you have a heart to build something in the community, part of this church. Maybe you have a vision to build something in the future, and you're a young person. You're thinking, man, I want to be part of our story, our future. I so want to be a vision builder. I want to step into that miracle for a harvest of souls. I want to pray the blessing and the favor
and the wisdom of God over your life. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to just come straight away, real quick, right now, if that's you. Come on, just don't be afraid. I just surrender. Just, man, if you run a business, you need to be on this altar call. You need to step out of your seat right now. If you're starting a business, you need to be on this altar call right now. I'm telling you, you're going to need all the power of God, because your business is connected to purpose. And there's a power in that. I believe the touch of God wants to come over your life. I want to pray for all these young guys. Just step forward. All these young girls. Yeah, come, step forward. Come on, church, reach your hands out. Let's just lift that a little bit. Yeah, just come on. Just bring that music up a bit. Can I pray for our friends? You pick me up this morning. I want to pray for you. Yeah, come. Awesome. Thank you, Lord.